Happy Friday, everyone, and happy day 8 of the IIHF 2021 World Championships. The players in Riga have certainly got that Friday feeling after what we saw out there on the ice today.
Here's Haga with a chance to win it for Norway. Haga moves in and scores! And Norway wins it.
Hart wins the battle. Plays it back to the blue line. Mathias Lassen, left-hand shot playing the right point. Chips it off the boards and deep back for Marcus Larsson. Scores!
Is it smart? Smart.
Brown and Connor Brown's got the empty net, and Canada will put it away.
Kempe, save, rebound, scores.
What's up, Lucas? How are you doing?
Well, everybody's working for the weekend, like Loverboy said. I'm ready to do this.
Same year. And listen, one of the things that I love about international sporting events is the chance for all of these countries, cultures, and people to come together from different parts of the world and unite. And I know you, since you do double duty as a hockey journalist and a travel journalist, I can only imagine some of the wild things you've seen and done while racking up all those frequent flyer miles over the years. So my crazy question for you today, Lucas, are what are some of your standout hockey-related travel memories?
Oh, well, where do I even begin? Well, I know you love to talk about my shirts, Caroline. So, for instance, I have a photo of myself in a 2012 IIHF World Championship t-shirt in front of the giant stone statues on Easter Island. Seriously, wild horses, volcanic caves, and IIHF t-shirts. Easter Island truly has it all.
Did any horses come for you? Or were you safe from the animals this time?
Oh, they just like to block the road and stare at you. They're very harmless, but picturesque. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, I played in a pond hockey tournament in Regina, Saskatchewan, the site of the 2010 World Juniors, and managed to freeze two of my fingertips. They did not regain feeling for 2 months, which is pretty wild, especially when
Stop.
You earn your living.
Are you being serious right now?
No, I'm looking at the fingertips right now. You know, I type for a living, right? So I really wanted to have them come back, and they did. So I'm happy about that.
On a scale from 0 to 10, what was your level of concern that you wouldn't regain feeling back in those fingertips of yours?
Well, you know, with my Nordic heritage, I just, ignored my feelings and waited for it to get better.
Awesome. Okay, carry on.
Let's see what else. Oh, on the health front, well, I drank half a liter of fermented horse milk in Ufa, Russia, when I was covering the 2013 World Juniors. That was funky. Sort of like Coors Light with a little bit of cheese aftertaste.
Ew.
Now, Chekhov and Tolstoy, though, they, get this, they believed it wards off tuberculosis. And so far, I haven't had tuberculosis. Gotta love that.
Okay, so aside from you being on an IIHF version of Jeopardy, I'd also love to put you on Fear Factor now, because I know that if you had to drink or eat anything crazy, you'd do it.
Is Fear Factor still a thing?
No, we'll make it a thing, though.
Fear Factor, I don't know. On the sunnier side, I drove the length of California once, did a story about attending Canucks games in San Jose, LA, and Anaheim, and on that trip, I remember I saw Paul McCartney at the Hollywood Bowl. I also went to a Science of Hockey exhibit at the Discovery Cube in Santa Ana. So, it's never a dull day, you know?
And when you say that, Lucas, you could be talking about our tournament so full of twists and turns every day. Is it exaggerating to say that we've never had a Worlds like this before?
Not at all. I've done this for more than 20 years, and I've never seen this much parity or so many upsets.
So give us the rundown of all of the scores from today, please.
Well, we have Sweden 4, Great Britain 1, a must-have winner for Trey Croner. Canada 4, Kazakhstan 2, another must-have win for Canada. Denmark 5, Belarus 2, and Norway 4, Latvia 3. Michael Haga spoiling the host nation's mood with the shootout winner.
We're going to get to all of those games, but first, our game of the day goes to Denmark and Belarus with the Danes. Like you said, Lucas, getting a big 5-2 win. For anyone who might have missed the game, fill them in on what they missed.
Well, this is truly the biggest anomaly out of all our scores today. Denmark with an offensive explosion against Belarus, and that is why it's our game of the day. Now, let's get this straight. The same country that only mustered a record low 4 shots in an entire game against Switzerland, losing 1-0, suddenly explodes for 4 goals in the third period alone against Belarus. Wow! Final shots 37-18 for Denmark. Belarus not so happy. Forward Artyom Demkov did not hide his displeasure, he told the media. The third period is not good for us. We lost 4-0. It's incredible. This is like a gold medal for us within the group. And then we don't need to play like that in the third period. Denmark, on the other hand, pretty happy after that. I mean, they're currently in sole possession of fourth place in the group with 8 points. And that gives them a huge boost of offensive confidence, too. 5 players with multi-point games.
Okay, so Lucas, Belarus is the last in Group A, and head coach Mikhail Zakharov expressed some concern about the performance of his naturalized players. Quote, "There are questions about the dual nationals. It's the world championship. It takes time to prepare. I was urging them, come sooner, but they couldn't do that. They came late to the team, unfortunately, and they clearly aren't quite ready," end quote.
All you can say is Belarus needs to come together quickly. Key matchup versus Switzerland looming on Sunday, and the playoff picture is so messy right now. I mean, it's all still up for grabs.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to our lovable Latvians who were oh so close in their game against Norway, but just couldn't get the job done.
This was a game Latvia wanted badly. No guarantees against the Finns or the Germans coming up, right? This was a winnable game. But unfortunately, Latvia allows Norway to score an early goal in all 3 periods. The Latvians couldn't capitalize on their power play in overtime. And then they hit a couple of posts during the shootout. Just not the host nation's day. Here's head coach Bob Hartley.
I thought that, you know, like we were just okay. No, we had a good start. We had a very good start. Really enjoyed our first period. I felt that we were skating very well. We had some very good scoring chances. In the second period, their short-handed goal kind of put us on our heels. And after this, we started to chase the game. So it was back and forth, but. In our situation, we needed a regulation win. We're still in life, but obviously we're going to need help from people around us. Plus, we're going to have to win our remaining games.
Now, Captain Kaspers Daugavins missed this game, Hartley confirming he's injured and will be reevaluated on Saturday. And it looked like Rodrigo Abels could have been injured after taking just a monster open ice hit from Norwegian defenseman Erlend Lesund in the second period. But Abels was fortunately just winded, and he bounced back to draw the penalty that led to the Latvian overtime PP. So now, as Hartley put it elsewhere, it's just about total team effort. But Latvia's going to need some help from the other teams going forward.
We'll see what happens. But for now, I'm excited to tee this one up. We know the Canadians have had a really rough start to this tournament, but we've got to talk about their character and mental strength to come back in these last 2 games and deliver. You know, today, as we mentioned, they took down a really good Kazakhstan team 4-2, and they're not only finding a way to survive, but maybe even find their stride in the tournament.
Well, it's sure nice they come through in this do-or-die situation, but as usual, the Kazakhs did not make it an easy road. Mm-hmm. You know, that moment when Nikita Mikhailov scores his second goal of the game early in the second period, it's 2-2, and Canadian fans are thinking, oh man, here comes another shootout or, you know, whatever the Kazakhs like to do, right? Wrong! Cole Perfetti lifting Canada to the win with his first of the tournament with under 13 minutes left. So that was a pretty exciting moment for fans of the Winnipeg Jets and this 19-year-old former OHL scoring star. But offensively, it's still the top line of Captain Adam Henrique, Andrew Mangiapane, and your personal friend, Caroline, Connor Brown, leading the way with 7 points combined. Canadian coach Gerard Gallant talked afterwards about his team's renewed belief in itself.
I thought we played good every game. The U.S. game, we had about 10 minutes where we didn't play well at all, but for the most part of the tournament, we played really well, and we were snake-bitten. Now the puck's starting to go in the net a little bit, and the guys are feeling good about themselves. So, you know, we got to run the table here and see what happens.
Next up, Sweden 4, Great Britain 1. Talk to us, Lucas.
Good focus for the Swedes. I mean, they didn't deviate from their course, even when Britain's Liam Kirk gets his tournament-leading fifth goal.
Wow.
Yeah, not a typo, right? Sounds crazy. But he opened the scoring on an ugly one with Brendan Connolly sliding into goalie Victor Fast after being upended by Rickard Rakell. That was also GB's first shot on goal. But the Swedes stuck with their puck possession game and just kept peppering Ben Bounds at the other end. Final shots, 56-14 for Sweden. I mean, that's a 4-1 edge, and it yielded 2 goals for Mario Kempe and a 3-point night for Marcus Sorensen. And Caroline, we now know that Johan Garpenlöv's players are not fans of Christina Aguilera. They don't want to get dirty. And how do we know this? Because they registered 0 penalty minutes in this win. 0. But, okay, let's not get carried away here with the happy talk. Trey Kroner is far from out of the woods with 2 big games left against the Slovaks and Russians. Their path to the quarterfinals remains narrow and tough.
Oh my gosh, Lucas, I didn't even hear the last thing that you said because I'm still focusing on the Christina Aguilera drop. I mean, I'm trying to think of her lyrics. Like, nothing's coming to mind. I just, you know, hail to Lucas Aykroyd throwing in all these pop culture references. I love it.
That's the only part of that song we can use, so let's just carry on.
All right, so we might not be able to bring you an On This Day memory because we're truly in uncharted territory here on the 28th of May. So for the rest of this tournament, Lucas, we're going to be getting your memories and opinions along with those of your fellow IIHF.com writers about some iconic and standout moments from the Worlds. All right, I want to know, what's the most exciting game you've seen at an IIHF World Championship?
Well, I've seen a ton of thrillers in the medal round over the years, but I always come back to Russia's 5-4 win over Canada in the 2008 gold medal game in Quebec City.
The World Championship Sports Network welcomes you to the oldest city in Canada, Quebec City and Le Colisée, for one of the most anticipated gold medal games in the history of the IIHF World Hockey Championships. Canada versus Russia. The two most accomplished hockey-playing nations on the planet meeting for the very first time in the title game since the current format was adopted back in 1992.
It was a great hockey game, although Rick Nash might disagree. Nash went from being the 2007 tournament MVP to the dude sitting in the penalty box for putting the puck over the glass when Ilya Kovalchuk scored the sudden death winner. Kovalchuk redeemed his tournament and his reputation with his 2-goal performance in the final. He'd gotten a totally unnecessary 1-game suspension for a nasty hit on Julien Vauclair when Russia beat Switzerland in the quarterfinal. But, you know, at the end of the day, 2008, the 100th anniversary of the IIHF, that made Kovy a legend for life. It also set the table for a big Russia-Canada rematch at the 2010 Olympics. In Vancouver, Rick Nash and 5 other Canadian returnees from 2008 got their revenge. They hammered Russia 7-3 in the quarterfinal and went on to beat the U.S. 3-2 in the final on Sidney Crosby's classic golden goal.
Punched along to Jerome Iginla. Crosby scores! It's over! The gold medal to Canada!
Welcome back, everyone, and let's get ready to preview tomorrow's action. We have 6 games, and let's start with the Czech Republic and Great Britain.
Well, the Czechs are looking to build off that momentum-shifting win over the Swedes. I mean, trailing 2-0 in the third, rallying with 4 goals, including 2 on the power play, that is absolutely huge for coach Filip Pešán and his boys. Could Britain be running a little low on petrol in their tank after being so thoroughly dominated by Trey Kroener today? Sure looks like it. Now, if the Czechs get some help from their Slovak brothers, i.e. if Slovakia beats Denmark in regulation, then a win here would pull the Czechs even with Denmark for fourth place in the group, and the Czechs and the Danes have yet to meet. All things considered, Caroline, unless Liam Kirk is shooting with greater accuracy than Robin Hood, you'd have to figure a highly motivated Czech group looking to save face will find a way.
Oh, my goodness. Robin Hood. Great. All right. Italy versus Kazakhstan is up next. And you got to feel for the Italians right now with 0 points. And although this tournament is a tournament of upsets and unpredictability, I think Kazakhstan takes this one.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like back in the days of the Roman Empire since Italy scored 4 goals in that 9-4 loss to Germany. But actually, Caroline, it's only been a week. If you can't score, you can't win. And Italy has just 1 goal in its last 3 games, including those back-to-back 3-0 losses to Latvia and Finland. Now, you'd think they'd have the puck a little more against Kazakhstan, but don't forget, Canadian coach Gerard Gallant commented on how aggressive the Kazakh forecheck was during Canada's 4-2 win. And, you know, this former Soviet Republic will be less concerned about getting caught defensively versus Italy. Also noteworthy, Darren Dietz, Kazakhstan's top blue liner, is among the tournament leaders with 18 shots on goal so far, but just 1 assist. So it feels like just a matter of time before the former Saskatoon Blade star and Montreal prospect gets rewarded here. Blowouts aren't really Kazakhstan's style, but even though they are newly promoted, I think Kazakhstan should have the edge here.
Agreed. Okay, the Russians and the Swiss are neck and neck in the standings with 9 points each. This might be our game of the day tomorrow.
You know, looking at Switzerland, it's very hard not to have a bit of a swoon after a huge offensive explosion. Sweden, remember, they went from hammering Switzerland 7-0 to losing 4-2 to the Czechs, right? And then you look at Russia, and you always think of the Russian offense, but with their NHL-heavy defense, the Russians have very quietly amassed the best defensive record in Group B with just 7 goals allowed. Goalie Alexander Samonov keeps racking up Player of the Game awards. And on the blue line, coach Valeri Bragin has been able to spread the minutes around. Although notably Nikita Nesterov of the Calgary Flames, he played 22 minutes and 51 seconds when he debuted in the 3-0 win over Denmark. So there's lots of moving parts here, but I think the Swiss may struggle to generate enough offense to beat the Russians.
Okay. If Norway were to beat the U.S. tomorrow, some more history, believe it or not, would be made. So fill us in, my friend.
Well, we sure do love our history on the official podcast. And let me put it this way. The last time Norway beat the U.S. at the Worlds, Stalin, Marilyn Monroe, and Lester Patrick were all still alive. We're talking about March 9, 1951. So, with due respect to the current Norwegian team, I think they left a lot out there in this physical affair with Latvia, getting the shootout win. It'll be tough to get past the speed and skill of Jason Robertson and Trevor Moore. Advantage America.
Another two teams that are close in standings are Slovakia with 9 points and Denmark with 8. So a lot on the line here for these two teams who will both be hungry to get the result.
Absolutely. And especially Slovakia, they will want to get back in the win column. They sure got away from their identity under coach Craig Ramsey in that 8-1 loss to Switzerland. Still hard to believe that happened, right? I mean, but when you take 2 5-minute majors, you're doing yourself no favors. Conversely, we know how Denmark bounced back today against Belarus after being shut out in 2 of their previous 3 games. But you wonder, are they going to get, say, 4 even-strength goals on 12 shots in 1 period against Slovakia, the way they did on Belarus? It's kind of unsustainable, right? And you got to keep in mind, Belarus is one of those enigmatic national teams that sometimes flashes the high-end skill and other times comes out flat. All that said, I look at Sebastian Dom, continuing to be lights out for Denmark in net, now with a 2.18 goals against average and a 91.2 save percentage. If Denmark is going to pull this one out, he's got to be huge. This one kind of looks tough to call. I'll be interested to see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen.
And that's how I feel about this next game. And a game that I'm looking forward to a lot for obvious reasons. Germany versus the reigning champs, Finland. And another potential for our game of the day.
Oh, yeah. And the Finns are rounding into form. They are becoming a blue and white force to reckon with in Riga. Even though it took them a little bit longer than Bratislava. They're now in that mode where anybody can get the goals. It doesn't matter. Even an unheralded defenseman like Tony Sund in the 3-0 win over Italy. The Germans got a good lesson in playing a tight defensive matchup against Kazakhstan and a wake-up call with that 3-2 loss. But there's no way they're going to outshoot Finland 30-15 as they did the Kazakhs. There's one interesting little subplot here. Coach Tony Soderholm is, of course, a Finn. And his assistant coach, Ville Peltonen, is a Finnish national hero. Rewind to 1995. When the Finns won their first world title ever in Stockholm, Peltonen scored a hat-trick in the 4-1 gold medal win over the host Swedes. Along with Saku Koivu and Jere Lehtinen, he formed the famous Tupu Hupu Lupu line. Now, in case you're wondering what that is, it's the names of Donald Duck's nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, in Finnish. They love their Donald Duck in Finland. Now, Peltonen is slated to return to his original Finnish club, IFK Helsinki, next season as the head coach. But in the meantime, he's helping out Soderholm. So, imagine that. Ville Peltonen on Saturday, potentially helping to engineer Germany's takeover of first place in Group B from his native Finland, where, you know, he'll always be a god. I think that makes for an intriguing little spectacle on Saturday.
It seems like Saturday is going to be full of amazing games, so everyone listening, don't miss out on any action. And for the games that you do miss, always check IIHF.com for all of our wonderful writers. They have all these great pieces that they get out right after the game, so be sure to check everything out and stay up to date on everything on our social channels. And of course, constantly tune back in every single day for the Totally Ice Hockey Show with Lucas Aykroyd and Caroline Schved.